This is Nursing in America. Each week we speak with incredible nurses who have taken the leap to start a new life in the United States. If you're thinking about doing the same, then this is the place you'll find all the insider knowledge and inspirational success stories to realize your own American dream. This is the second part of a two-part episode, so make sure you go back and listen to part one first.
How long does it take for us to start working on the floor and get paid our salary? Anna, how long did it take you?
Well, I got paid on my first day when I arrived. I arrived April 16 in New York. April 20, I was working. For 2 weeks, I got my paycheck. I never have no issue with my social security. Even when I was on orientation, you still got to get paid. And on your training days, you have a classroom and a clinical, you're going to get paid on after 2 weeks, provided you have a social security.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah. So you had to get your social security. And how long did it take you to get your social security number?
When I arrived, after a day, I never had, it was 7 years ago. There's no pandemic.
Oh,
so when I came here. Yeah,
we're seeing an average of about 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's if they didn't spell somebody's name wrong or put something incorrectly, where it's that's a really scary situation.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's a social security is definitely a big barrier to, because there's a lot of things you can't do until you get your social security. Blair, can you maybe share with everybody what the social security number actually is?
It's your identification number into the, it is your access point into so many aspects of America, of your personal identity, of your banking system, of getting paid. We work very little with the social security numbers because we don't require them for our products and services. Once you get them, we do update them in the system. However, you don't need your social security number to take advantage of our products. So James would probably be able to say a lot more than I would on that aspect because we don't deal with them. We don't ask you for it until you get it and you provide it to us. But it doesn't prohibit you from taking advantage of any of our financial assistance.
And that's an amazing benefit. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's such a vital number and an important number. That's a really amazing benefit.
Yes.
So, Lisa, do you want to share with everybody what your status is in terms of Social Security right now? Because you've been in the country, what is it, about 2 weeks, right?
Oh, less than 2 weeks. Today
less than
is
two.
The 13th day I'm here. yes, it should be.
But who's counting?
I'm in today, my Social Security number. And it comes like in 2 days, I have a meeting with the hospital to get the number. And the problem is I'm waiting for this social security number to make the endorsement in North Dakota. So it's something that's happening, you know. But I'm enjoying the time I'm here. I'm looking for the places in the city. I'm enjoying the food, the markets. The supermarkets are amazing. There are everything we need, and I love to cook. So I'm enjoying this time. It's a time to have with my family because we are going to start to work like hard. So I am like worried and concerned about getting the social security number, actually, to be honest.
You're okay being not working for a little bit longer then?
I think it's a chance to enjoy the country. It's my first time in the US. I never had been here before.
Okay. And was it what you thought it was going to be like?
Much better.
Much better.
Awesome. That's amazing to hear.
I was scared about the weather because I come from Brazil, a tropical country. It's lovely. Of course, I'm not living here for 10, 20 years. Like the people, I'm not struggling. But I didn't feel like cold at home. It seems like we are in the normal weather in my country. It's not cold at all. Outside, if you dress like the proper cloth, you don't feel trouble with the weather. So it's everything beautiful. The landscape is amazing. The people are kind. I'm in love. I'm much better than I ever thought in my life.
That makes me so happy. Just
Yeah.
To hear you.
I can cry when you say that because we know how hard it is, this journey to get to the United States. So happy that it's been such a wonderful experience. Okay, so I think the main message, though, with the social security number, and it really is that step number one when you arrive in the United States, there are two ways of obtaining a social security number. So just for everybody to bear in mind, one is you can either apply for it at the DS-260 stage of your consular green card process. And that is where if you've done that, then you just wait basically to receive it. The second way is not to apply at the DS-260 stage and apply when you arrive in the United States. And in a normal world, pre-pandemic, that was taking roughly about 1 to 2 weeks. But as James says, unfortunately, with the pandemic, that time has lengthened. And I think that's really just, you know, with the LaFora talk show, it's a matter of setting the expectations right. Because if you know, like Lisa, that it's going to take a while for you to get it, and then you can only do your license endorsement in that particular state once you've got Social Security, at least you know what to expect. I think a lot of stress comes when you don't know what to expect. So at least that gives some clarity. Okay, I'd like to dig a little bit deeper now into the financial side. I know we spoke about, the way that Advance Shield, the structure that Advance Shield offers, and Blair on the the bank account and the car loan and opening getting a credit card. Can you talk us through a little bit more about that so that people can really understand the advantage? Because Advance Shield there are other banks that offer great programs, but I think Advance Shield has a particularly great program.
Yeah, absolutely. There are, we have competitors that offer similar programs. One of the best things that I can say about our structure is, so Americans don't even understand the U.S. banking system. So it's for me to explain it to you in a short time frame. I mean, credit scoring in itself is just a whole nother world. But the specifics, we have banks and we have credit unions. So it's all about the ownership structure. Banks are not for profit. They're owned and operated by a board, as to where a credit union, they are nonprofit. So any profit goes paid out in dividends to the members, lower rates, and we have less regulations than your standard traditional financial institution. So with that being said, we belong to a network. So Advantial only has so many physical brick and mortar locations around the United States. However, we are partners in a co-op where you can type in the zip code of where you're moving to or where your hospital is or where your apartment is, and you will find one of our partner institutions within a 5, 10, 15-mile radius. And in bigger cities, there are a ton where you can actually physically walk in and do a business like you would in one of our branches. So in, the day of the pandemic and modern technology, it's great to be able to do everything on the app or on a computer. But, sometimes you need to actually go in and do something in person. So our partner institutions and our co-op make that possible. Not every credit union or financial institution is a member of that. Your traditional banks, you have to go into your specific banks, brick and mortar. So it just allows us to access you guys, whether you're in North Dakota or New York or, Tennessee, wherever you are. Another great thing is, like James said, it's very rare that financial institutions don't require a social security number. Our program is designed to benefit you and help you before you get here. As long as you have your visa, your offer letter, and your ID, you send that in. We process it. We get your savings account open. That way you have a place to put money, whether it's a little or a larger sum, to wire that money, to have it waiting for you when you get here. That way you can contact us or visit a partner institution and withdraw that money if you would need cash. Once you're here, we can go ahead and issue out your debit card, which connects to your checking account. We can set up the direct deposit so that your money that you're getting from your employer is going directly into your bank account. Everything can be, automatic draft. And the scariest thing, and the response that I've heard most from the nurses, is that it's a scary thing to come to another country with, you know, a lot of cash and not knowing if you're going to be able to pay for this or pay for that. When you have children, I mean, the expenses are outrageous. So when you're guaranteed to be able to get a credit limit, which is phenomenal. If you would speak to any natural born American, some don't qualify for the limit that we're able to give to you guys. So whenever you're guaranteed right off the bat to get that line of credit and to get that auto loan for that specific amount, it opens a lot of doors for you to not only be able to commute and travel, but to have access to charge things or purchase things that you may not have been able to purchase with the cash that you came over with. It's a very scary limbo to be in when you first get here. So like I said, my biggest recommendation is to get everything set up and squared away before you get here. That way it's one less waiting period, because when you apply for membership with us, it takes about 24 to 48 hours for the membership to be opened. Then it'll take another, you know, however many hours to wire that money and then to get there to access it. If all of that's already done before you get here, it takes, you know, a solid 2 to 3 days off of your waiting period.
Yeah, so that's huge, because it can really give you peace of mind to have that in those first few days or weeks before you start working. In some states, as we said, like Elisa in North Dakota, you've got to get your North Dakota endorsement. You only can do that once you've got Social Security. There can be delays on Social Security. So it can be incredibly stressful from a financial perspective, especially if you have family, if you don't have that line of credit. So this is very valuable information that we're sharing today. One thing that we touched on that I want to just talk about a little bit more is credit. And building your credit history. Anna, before you came here, did you know what credit was?
No. Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. I have no idea. I have relatives in California, but they never said anything about it. But you have to build a credit. I was like, when I was here now, I was like, how will you build a credit? Does it mean you always have to owe? So you're going to... No idea at all. That's another thing that I wish I knew 7 years ago.
Okay. So this is a very important piece of information. Elisa, did you know about credit before you came here?
Yes, I did. It's something that we talk a lot in the WhatsApp group with my other friends who are nursing. And my husband also, he researched a lot about this. I left for him like this part of the job, you know. And yeah, we have a good idea about the credits for you. We came prepared to use our finances positively and like create a good score.
So James, if a nurse purchases a car through International Autosource, does that affect the credit in any way, good or bad, or not at all?
Well, it's important that you pay. You have to pay the bank the loan. So there's two different ways. You're going to have a situation where it could affect your credit in a situation of debt to income ratio. So the amount of your monthly investment versus your monthly earnings. So they consider those things as they give you more credit. So as you know, you go for maybe purchasing a home or purchasing another item, they'll start to look at it and say, okay, your debt to income ratio is getting to a higher percentage. You might have to pay. And this one's, as Blair was mentioning, you'll never understand the credit situations in the US. They might charge you a higher rate, making your payment more and making it harder for your debt to income ratio, which I still don't understand today, but really just the understanding of protecting themselves against any kind of risk of that. Okay. So having a car loan is an important piece of credit. I would say probably 99% of people have car loans or some type of car lease or something in the US if they didn't purchase their vehicle for cash. So it's something that's expected to be on your credit report. And it's very important to ensure that you're paying that loan in a timely manner. It's, you know, they're any kind of a blip on your credit report can affect 20, 30 points, which can be a massive drop going from 700 to 670, which would affect anything as far as getting a mortgage, interest rates, credit cards, reduction in credit limits. It's very important to make sure that you maintain that on a monthly basis every single month.
Okay, so really important tips and pointers, good advice there from the panel.
We'll be back with the conversation in just a second. There's a wonderful opportunity for you. Kinetics USA is currently recruiting registered nurses from all over the world to work in healthcare facilities here in the USA. If you are interested, please apply at kineticsusa.com/application. That's kineticsusa.com/application. On with the show.
Blair, I know we did a whole show on credit, but if you can maybe sum up, what is your best advice from a financial perspective for nurses that are coming to the United States in their first 30 days and how to tackle credit?
The whole credit is my absolute favorite thing in the world to talk about. It makes me really, really fun socially. But my number one piece of advice is do not try to understand the credit scoring system right off the bat. You're going to come here and there's no such thing as being born into good credit. Everybody starts at the same playing field. So whenever you're a natural born American, we say, you know, start establishing credit early, finance a computer, finance this, you know, build credit because you need credit. But there's a huge difference between good credit and bad credit. And it takes one late payment to ruin your credit, but 7 years of good payments to bring it back up. So my biggest thing is any type of debt that you're, you know, taking on. So this auto loan for us, our limit's $25,000. If you get a vehicle for $25,000, tax title and license, and you're ready to go, make sure you make that payment every time. If you have to separate it, and this is one of my biggest things, if your auto loan payment is $500 a month, split it in half, however many times you get paid, and pay it then. Add maybe $5 to it. So do like $255, $260. And over time, that goes to your principal. So you're able to pay it off quicker. You can save on interest. Take advantage of programs that if you do automatic withdrawal, we take off an extra half a percent off of your interest rate. Essentially, a credit score is what the U.S. banking system gives you that shows your likeliness to pay something within a reasonable time. There's a dozen factors that go into your credit score, but the biggest one that has the biggest impact is the timeliness of your payments. So as long as you make sure that you're making these payments on time and making the accurate payments, even if it's the minimum payment, you should be in a really good place. Like I said, one little mistake takes 7 years to come off of your credit report, which then affects your credit score. Everything you purchased that you finance will take a look at your credit score and your debt to income ratio. You know, we see it at times where somebody may have a terrible credit score, but they have a very healthy debt to income ratio. So they're able to, you know, get by. And then we see people who have awful debt-to-income ratios that have great credit scores. You want to be a happy medium. You want to keep a healthy debt-to-income ratio, and you want to keep a healthy credit score because that'll give you healthy rates and APRs, and it'll make your lifestyle much more affordable. But coming into little or no credit in your shoes, the biggest thing is you want to work hard to establish that credit. And the easiest way to do that is to make those payments on time.
Yeah. And to educate yourself about what that's all about. So still under the finance umbrella, the finance topic, just talking a little bit about budgeting. Because for many international nurses, as we now know, they're going to have to come in, they're going to have to get Social Security, they're going to have to get the license endorsement in some states, might not be able to do that before they arrive. So there might be a delay, and sometimes some longer than others, in getting to start working. Anna, what would you say is the biggest mistake that you see nurses make in terms of budgeting in those first 30 days?
The biggest mistake will be converting your money dollar to your country. Like, this is so expensive. This is cheap. And when I was new, that will be my biggest mistake. I always convert the dollar amount into peso. So some stuff I was not able to budget it in the right way. I'm always short on my first few days. Especially when my husband and my daughter arrived from California. And I realized, like, hey, Anna, wake up. You're now in the U.S. You're paying dollar. you're earning dollar. So it's not a big money. In my mind, oh, I have this X amount of dollar. It's big back home, but I'm not back home anymore. So I made a lot of mistakes with that. I am the budget, like the rent, the bills, the Wi-Fi, the water, the heating. I didn't know you have eight could be heating, you know? So that was the biggest mistake. Stop converting your money from where you're from to U.S. You have to think you're in the U.S., you're earning dollar, you're going to pay dollar, and it is what it is. So.
So I think that's, it's kind of like a mindset and getting your mind mm-hmm. around that different change. Elisa, you've just arrived, so it's probably not a fair question to ask you about budgeting. Blair, from the financial, broad financial perspective, what would you say is your best advice from a budgeting perspective? You've seen a lot of nurses come into the United States.
Understanding the conversion is a huge thing. It's very different. I didn't even understand the difference until I started, you know, doing this more in depth. Another thing, and I mentioned this in a conversation with one of our client groups, and some of the people were like, I don't understand that expression. I think it was a cultural thing. And I was like, okay, let me think of how I can put it that you would understand. Keeping up with the Joneses, but we've now rebranded it to keeping up with the Kardashians, because everybody knows.
That's a good one.
Make sure you're keeping up with the Kardashians. You're not keeping up with
Kardashians. Do not keep up with the Kardashians.
You're not coming to the U.S. as a Kardashian.
Yeah.
Things cost, and the cost is, it's drastic, it's geographical, but the amount of money that things cost, people have mm-hmm. no idea, that physical drawdown of a dollar. So make sure you're living within your means. Make sure that you're prioritizing, you know, Wi-Fi, all of these things. Yes, obviously you need the basic living needs, but identify what is a need and what is a want, what is, you know, a priority, what is a necessity, what is a luxury, and make sure that your hard-earned money is going to paying the necessities. And leaving the luxuries for bonuses or given time, because nobody's going to come here and be able to afford, you know, that lifestyle and all the bells and whistles of what a lot of people believe is the American dream. It takes time. So that was our biggest takeaway was, don't keep up with the Kardashians.
And you know, if an immigrant, we are expected to send money back home to a family. So during the first few months, it was hard because while budgeting, while taking care of your own family here in the U.S., you have to remember that you also have a family back home. And they are your number one priority. That's why you aim to come in the U.S. So you're right, Abel. It takes time. So priority needs one. You're right. Yeah.
So, and I love also, Blair, where you were saying, I mean, Anna's correct, right, it takes time, but I really like where you said there, think of like, what is a need and what is a want? Because that's kind of a good distinguisher, because you come into the U.S. and you see lots of very attractive, shiny objects.
Bad.
You see that we are a consumer-driven society. Yeah. Everybody wants this and that. You're going to see the advertisements. You're going to see America is a consumer-driven society. You have to put that in the back of your mind and focus on your main goal. Don't give in to, you know, the shiny lights and the beautiful picture. It'll come.
Keep the expenses low.
Yes. And be very careful. You start to look at buying those new glitzy things, and you do have your social security number. These stores will push credit on you. So they will push store cards and they will push those things on you.
This just brought me back. Sorry, I know where we're at. James and I, the last time we did something, we both at the same exact time said, if any facility or anybody says, you know, no interest, no problem. Big problem.
Big problem. Avoid them.
Be aware
of those.
Let the warning bells ring if you hear
it. Yeah. And they'll pull you in with that, with the new furniture, new TV, new items like that. You know, you go into your place and then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you have you have everything on credit. Now you've over exceeded your credit. And in a year, all of that interest compounds and joins right onto that price if you don't pay it off. there's a lot of tricks that they could use. And
do not fall for this scheme.
Yeah, it's not worth it. And it's not worth the pressure just because somebody else, like the Kardashians, has something. You don't have to have it right away. The American dream takes time to build. It's not given to you. It's not handed to you. So you're going to be able to build it, and you're going to be able to get everything you want. It's all here for you.
I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
And really, really important, because the last thing that you want is to get here. You worked so hard to get here and then get all stressed out because you are over your head in terms of expenses and you haven't had a chance to figure out what your budget's going to be and what your expenses are going to be. And then everybody gets stressed out and that's not good.
Yeah. And then it's not fun. And I mean, we talk people out of expensive cars.
Under 5 years old, we have to think about the daycare, which is very, very expensive.
That's expensive too. Absolutely. Yeah,
very expensive.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, there are certain things like, you know, we haven't even spoken about. Most employers these days will give you like 1 month, 2 months, 3 months of initial housing. So you don't have to worry about that initially. But there are going to be, you know, it's going to be a time when you are going to have to pay for your own housing. So you got to find that. You're going to have to pay for childcare. Mm-hmm. You got to find that out. You got to look at schools if your children are school going age. So there's a lot of things to consider. And I think keeping your expenses low is very, very good advice. Very. James, one last question just on the transportation side, kind of under the idea of the finances. Is it better to buy a brand new car if somebody doesn't know anything about cars? Can you maybe talk through buying a car and how much they should spend on a car, especially looking at it from the perspective of being here in the first 30 days or so?
Well, here's what I can promise you. I've been selling cars or working in the car business for 22 years, and I don't know anything about cars. Not a thing. Okay. I just know that they're going to get me from point A to point B. That's really what I'm focused on, and sometimes point C. So the idea really is there's two different schools of thought there, that if you buy a pre-owned vehicle within maybe about 2 or 3 year period, as long as you purchase an extended warranty that would cover that car, that's an option for you, especially if you don't know about vehicles. When purchasing a new car, the new car automatically comes with either a 3 year 36,000 mile warranty or a 5 year 60,000 mile warranty. So you have that protection, you know, if there was any kind of challenge or any kind of issues with the vehicles, that the vehicle will be repaired, because that would be another concern that you would have to have, that if you purchase a vehicle that was too old and then there was a challenge with the car, that's another hidden expense where, you know, something like replacing brakes or replacing a transmission. Transmission can be almost $2,000. And if you don't have that ready, that's not something that typically you can finance. Right now, the market as it exists today is a very, very challenging market. It's challenging in the sense that people who are purchasing used cars today, they're going to be in a lot of trouble in a couple of years, because these used cars are going to drop in value once the vehicle manufacturers start building cars again. You know, we're at a point where microchips are delayed and they're preventing cars from being built. I don't know how many people pay attention to the news or to autos, but Audi Volkswagen just had a boat sink in the Atlantic Ocean. It was $300 million worth of inventory. That's going to the value of cars, and it's going to create an issue where they can't build enough cars, now cars are worth more. But the thing about a car is it depreciates, and in time it will depreciate. It's a depreciating item. And in the sense of a used car, right now you're paying almost a price of a new car. In 3 years or 4 years, that vehicle will depreciate much faster than a new car. That's today. That's today's market and how it exists today. And it's most likely going to be like this for probably about the next year that we're going to be in this situation. It's a very, very unfortunate situation and a very difficult situation to manage for any kind of person who's out there. For even us, again, as Americans, lease returns that are coming back, people aren't returning their leases. They're keeping them because the market prices are too high. So there's a lot of different challenges. So the easy answer, because it was a very long-winded one, but the easy answer for that question would be, right now, it's probably better to buy a new car than it is to buy a used car because of the challenge that you'll have in a few years with that used car value dropping. That would be the challenge.
Okay. So that's really interesting information, up-to-date information. Obviously, you know, there are choices when you come to the United States, and transportation is a critical aspect, especially in those first 30 days. if you're going to get a used car or get a pre-owned car or a new car, that is something that would be at your choice and your discretion. But that's where we're so grateful to the panel for sharing advice, sharing up-to-date information. We have so much more to discuss, but we are out of time. So thank you to everybody on the panel who shared your experience, shared your advice, shared your pointers, shared your tips. So helpful for any nurse to bear in mind when they are coming to the United States and how to prepare for those first 30 days. Any last advice, Anna, that you want to give everybody who's watching about for the first 30 days?
Okay. So, I'm a very I always think all the nurses just from the Philippines, it's not easy, but it's all worth it. We'll get companies that will help you with your own research. You can make it work and will not give up and have a faith in yourself. America is not perfect, but America is the best thing that ever happened to my life and my family. So come on here and get your tax done.
Okay, there you go.
That's awesome.
Those are great words from Anna. And we're going to finish off now. And for any nurse who has not yet written your NCLEX, written your IELTS exam, now is the time to do it. And then you can be like Elisa and Anna and, can be living your American dream, especially with the help of experts like James and Blair. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and hit the follow button on your podcast player and leave us a review. Kinetics USA is currently recruiting registered nurses from all over the world to work here in the USA. We offer direct hire, meaning you will be sponsored and hired directly by American healthcare facilities. If you're interested, please apply at kineticsusa.com/application. That's kineticsusa.com/application. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for more incredible conversations.